Hello, this is Gary, and you're listening to Thinking Out Loud. Today's podcast, recorded on a Saturday afternoon, late March 2023. I think it's the 25th today. Just reviewing the news. It feels like it's finally, like the nail in the Trump metaphorical coffin. Finally gonna go in. Is it finally gonna happen? Is that asshole that I became aware of when I was a little kid? Is he finally done? Is his career, if you want to call it that, finally over? Can we finally do it? At this point, we're still saying he's eligible to be president, which is kind of insane. You know, what to do with him, and as far as the criminal way, like, if he's found guilty, what are we supposed to do with a former president that gets found guilty of a crime? What the fuck are we supposed to? But even if he isn't, like, it's a pretty massive preponderance of evidence and overwhelming, like, shit caught on video kind of stuff that should make him ineligible. The organization that picked him doesn't have anybody else. They got Ron DeSantis. That's who the Republican Party is going to throw at us if Trump's deemed ineligible because he's, you know, convicted of some kind of crime or something. There's a few cases brewing right now. I genuinely thought towards the end of high school, after his sixth bankruptcy, and it was in the news. I think it was the Taj, or it was one of the ones after one of his business ventures after the Taj. They get kind of mixed up in my head, all the different bankruptcies. But it's very much presented in the news like he was done. I remember just having a sense of relief as I was gonna hopefully go off to college soon and get into a business degree, that I was no longer gonna be hearing about that guy, that version of the business guy, the completely superficial character of a business guy, but behind the scenes, barely behind the scenes, really. Like, the news of Trump was always that he was bankrupt again, or cheating on his wives, or saying something stupid, or he was just at a public event and he was there. He made an appearance, and so for some reason it was on the news. Barely behind the scenes, barely even behind the curtain, because it wasn't even really a curtain, really. The mirage was pretty transparent to me, but I guess, I don't know, I guess you had to have a certain kind of eyes to see through it, I guess, the whole time it was being presented. I never really understood how people thought that what was being presented was a successful business guy. No, it's just a really wealthy guy who could buy stuff. When he used the money he had to create a business, the business would fail in pretty short order. But he would be able to use the business failure as a personal tax deduction. In some cases, for like 20 years. 2 of the years he was president, he didn't pay anything in taxes. You know, again, he's still a lavishly wealthy man because he has a trust fund that was created for him. The trust fund, if it was invested in the correct things, like annuities, a big massive sum like $400 million, which he inherited, could be invested in something pretty basic, earning a pretty nominal interest rate, and could pay him a living allowance of, say, $300,000-$400,000 a month forever. Yeah, that would be like what he lives off and spends his money. And then if he has other sums of money that he cashes out, liquidates to create a business, and then the business goes bankrupt after a while, well, he can claim the loss on his taxes. Maybe avoid paying taxes, even though he is, you know, a living allowance that's quite lavish. Yeah. It was the entirety of his story as it was being presented, it was just kind of a reminder the whole time, decades on end, every once in a while. Hey, everybody, just so you know, there's a different set of rules for the wealthy and everybody else, you know? Yeah, this guy's a complete failure, but yeah, look, he's still wealthy. He still gets to fly in a private jet. And then a few years after that sixth bankruptcy, as I was getting into college, getting closer into my degree, he got to start hosting his own TV show. And he was, you know, obviously paid a nice salary for that. The hosting of a primetime TV show is, that's good money. He was paid can't remember if it was in the hundreds of thousands or if it was in the millions, but it was a dang good salary he got paid for that because it also became a hit. It So, more fame. Value and fame. So, you got to put his name on more stuff. He got money from that. He quickly lost a lot of the money that he got from those things. He'd create new things that would quickly fold and go bankrupt. So, yeah. He wasn't really successful prior to the game show, and he didn't really become successful after the game show or anything. It's just the entities that have his name on it that stay profitable are because there's other people running it day to day in the business sense, and he has less control over it. The things that he has direct control over and day-to-day operational command of, they go bankrupt in pretty short order. Yeah. That's kind of his MO, though. That's been the story the whole time. And what I'm describing about Trump there, that really just takes to about 2010. So you have this kind of corrupt con man guy who is born wealthy, and because he has a lot of money, he can buy stuff and put his name on things. Sometimes he creates companies that go bankrupt in short order. Various scandals, getting sued, cheating on his wives and stuff. Appearing at public events, and that's like decades of what he's famous for, and why we know his name. He's a wealthy guy who bankrupts companies a lot, and then gets into various scandals, has various criminal connections and stuff too. There's books written about that kind of thing. Early mentors, Roy Cohn, who was also an attorney for various New York crime families, and that was an early mentor for young Donald John Trump back in the late 70s, early 80s. But the whole time his story was being told, the entire time I processed it, was just, yeah, different set of rules. He's a man born into affluence, so he's affluent. He gets to be affluent. It doesn't really matter how incompetent and stupid and bad he is at business. He's famous and wealthy, and will always be, pretty much, you know. I mean, the things he's done over the last several years and the fact that he's still wealthy is pretty amazing, you know. Like, there's various civil suits and stuff, but those were only of the companies that he ran and stuff. Pretty amazing that he's still able to live a pretty lavish life and have ownership stake in such fancy things and such. Why is his name worth so much? Seems to have just caused mostly destruction and apathy. And amazingly, like, the fact that the one of the two organizations that were given as an option was the organization that picked him and is still by and large kind of stuck with him. Their next best option is a guy that was kind of a similar ideology, a kind of a pro-fascism kind of type, Ron DeSantis, banning books and religion and excommunicating and revoking citizenship in certain ways of certain types of people because of who they are and whatever. You know, it's just, whoo, fuck. You know, like, yikes. I don't understand how people get into that kind of shit, you know? This is a democratic society, and there's a lot of all walks of life on planet Earth, a whole bunch. And when you live in a democratic society like ours, you're gonna see all of them. You know? Really uncomfortable with that. Learn to be uncomfortable, I guess. I don't know. Your house is your house, you know. Do what you want inside your house. You're outside your privacy, your own home. Well, you're out in the public. You're in public. Like, if you don't want your kid reading a certain book, well, then tell them not to read it. But yeah, if you're too adamant about them not reading a particular book, might just make them want to read it even more. Hence my very particular desire of buying certain books that were on a certain conservative group's list of banned books. Some of the books I bought for my boys are those very same books. Now let's go out and get them now, just in case it actually comes to that. Some of these, pro-fascism type candidates, if they actually gain more power, some of them have proven that they are willing to do certain kinds of things in actual law. You know, use their power for vindictive purposes, for cruelty. That's what fascism is kind of rooted in. You know, it does a lot of confusing and distorting prior to that, to convincing people that it's benevolent in nature, but its purposes are quite opposite. It's really ruthless and cruel style of governing fascism is. And it takes many forms. I mean, it takes the personality of whatever ruler it is. It's a narcissistic style of government, so the specific attributes of it are going to morph and contort to whatever specific leader is in control of that style and that style of government. So hence Florida's particular state government they got going on there, red light by DeSantis, is a very particular type of thing, you know. Various campaigns against books and peoples of certain types and stuff, meanwhile neglecting certain basic kind of stuff, infrastructure stuff, but spending time and energy and taxpayer dollars on just kind of fucking with people for just because you can. That's kind of the root of it. Again, the root of fascism is really just cruelty and apathy. It's kind of an inherent kind of characteristic of it. It's inhumane. It doesn't really care much about humanity. It's about power and wealth and greed. You know, it just kind of thrives on it. And so, again, it'll kind of the specific look of it or whatever, specific language and stuff is going to vary depending on the specific leader that is in charge of it. So Trump's version was a particular style, if you will, of American fascism, version of it. Bombastic and in your face, and but yeah, violent at times, extremist, but also sort of clownish, you know, which is the kind of pot that it's almost like it was the seed to plant, because it was clownish, it was like people could be almost dismissive of it and not think that it was lethal, that it was dangerous. But no, he was advocating violence and a really basically a corrupt government, a government that ignores the wills of the people, that a government that also makes it more difficult to vote, and then also just doesn't even count all the votes. This sort of can change the results at a whim. That's what he was advocating for. That's what he was running his whole. That's what the whole January 6th riot was about. He lost a few states by a small amount, and he wanted to convince the people that ran those elections to change the amount to a different number. They wouldn't do it. And so he said there was fraud. Yeah, I know it's the Cliff Notes version. But yeah. Our country hasn't deemed that guy ineligible to be president yet. We gotta get our act together. I mean, I get it, we got this, the MAGA situation, you know. There's large groups of working class folks that went all in on the MAGA thing, supporting a New York wealthy white guy born into wealth and privilege who inherited $400 million, who was famous for being a con man and fucking over working class folk for the sport of it. That's what he was famous for. Yeah, and then he became a game show host in the early 2000s and it became a hit show. Then he started saying really racist stuff and it got those MAGA folk, who before that were part of the Tea Party and stuff, real excited, and it got them to attend his rallies. And then he promised them the building of a wall in the desert. First order of business after he got power, him and the Republican Party cut taxes for the wealthy and big massive corporations. Over the next several years, big massive corporations and the wealthiest in this country got wealthier. More money going straight to the top from all of our productivity. Yeah, there's millions of folks that voted for that. And then in 2020, 70 million voted for it again. But it wasn't quite enough. Strangely, the number that Donald John Trump got in 2016 was enough to win, even though he finished in second place. It's just the kind of the layers of fuck-ups that our society engaged in over several years, and we're still kind of trying to figure out how to get sorted with this Trump MAGA situation. We allowed this famous con man idiot guy who became a game show host to become the president, even though he didn't even win the election. We have this archaic thing called the Electoral College that we still use to this day to decide who the president is. It's really stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It really shouldn't matter what state you're living in. When you vote, your vote should count. Yeah, but 5 million people's vote in 2016 just didn't count. Yeah. Because he came in second place in 2016, but was declared the winner 30 days later anyway. Actually, for whatever reason, the news declared him winner election night. But like, I'm looking at those totals, his number's smaller. Oh, but it's the Electoral College. But that's in 30 days. The Electoral College is an actual vote based off of who wins each state. Margin of victory, irrelevant. The Electoral College voters in each respective state will vote in unison for one candidate or the other, thus reflecting the will of the state. This state resoundingly chooses X candidate, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, one or the other, says this state in unison. 100% of us vote yes to this one. And that's how we've decided is the most democratic. And it is that system that allowed Donald John Trump to become the president. He has his idiotic campaign and it gets a bunch of people excited, a bunch of people vote for him. He finishes in second place. Well, he actually did it. He actually finished in the top 10 even. That's amazing. Wow. But, sadly, fuck, he only finished in second. Therefore, he's not the winner. He didn't win. So why would he be declared the winner anyway? Well, because a small group of people in each state declared him the winner 30 days later. That's again the Cliff Notes version. He was officially president-elect 30 days after the election that he finished in second place. The famous con man guy who became a game show host. Born into wealth, inherited $400 million. Promises a bunch of working class folk that he's going to build them a wall in the desert that Mexico is going to pay for. Mexico's president boldly declares that they will not pay for the wall. Yet, Mr. Trump still continues to promise that Mexico will pay for the wall. Gets the people to chant it, build the wall, build the wall. March 2017, a month after he's sworn in, the Republican Party is celebrating, all of them, him too, Trump, their new tax bill. Wealthy people get to pay less in taxes now. The wealthiest, the people earning the most money by a lot, will pay less in taxes now. There will be less money coming in to cover the cost of things. What about the colossal cost of a wall in the middle of the desert? You didn't think they were actually planning on building it, were you? Good God, that's a spending project. They hate to spend money. Why would they spend money on a multi-million billion-dollar wall that only costs money and generates zero revenue? Some of the people in the conservative, quote-unquote organization actually are conservative, so thus would never actually approve legislatively the building of a wall, a massive, massive public spending project. Billions, if not trillions of dollars. Huge, colossal cost to build said wall, maintain it. So none of them, many of them had no intention of ever actually writing legislation to fund the cost of it. After all, Donald Trump promised that Mexico would pay for it. And again, Mexico said right away that they would not, but it didn't really matter. Just keep going. Just get through each day. So you're a month into your new term after you promised everybody that you'd build a wall. That's why they voted for you. Let's cut funding. Let's cut the amount of money that the Treasury has to, pay for things. So you haven't even started covering the cost of the wall yet. So now that's going to have to be pushed down even further. So now the stuff that we already have on the books that we're supposed to pay for, now we have less money to pay for them. First thing first, the wealthiest need to pay less in money, less in taxes. Says the Republican Party and Donald John Trump in March of 2017. It's March of 2023 now. Yep, during that time, Jeff Bezos got to fly in a rocket ship to space. His net worth increased by billions with a B. The most massive corporations on the planet, right here in the United States of America, got bigger. Yeah. So that's what happened with it. Yeah. The wealthiest got more money. It's kind of a no duh. You give a tax break to the wealthiest, it means they have more money now to keep in their pocket. There's less money going to the public cost of things, to cover the cost of things. There's less tax revenue. There's more money that the owners of the economy are allowed to just keep in their pockets. Revenue that is created by productivity of the 98%. Yeah. Without millions of people working every day, there is no economy, obviously. The values of companies starts dropping pretty dramatically if tens of millions of people every single day just stopped working altogether. Now, millions of us are needed workers, must work, do work that needs to be done. It has to be done, or shit goes awry if they don't do it. Fortunately, we live in a society where many of those need to be done jobs don't really earn that great of a living. Sometimes it's a decent living if you kind of do it a while, work your way up. But because it's a need to be done job that no one wants to do, but it has to be done, that technically almost anyone can do, if you're willing to, but it needs to be done. Those jobs that need to be done, they need to be done. And the people that are doing those need to be done jobs need to get a bare minimum of living wage. Living wage is going to depend on what area you're living in. Yeah, you're doing the need to be done kind of stuff. You shouldn't be scraping by, That shit needs to get done. And there's a lot of that kind of shit. Maintaining the grid, the waterworks. Sanitation. I mean, medical, of course, nurses, doctors. This, like, stuff starts getting bad pretty quick. Start going backwards in time pretty fast if certain need to be done kind of jobs aren't being done. Shit jobs, as it were, from the one show that was on Discovery years ago. I don't know if it's still on now. But inside of the kind of, I don't know, it has a strange value of certain things, and we allow individual humans to accumulate massive amounts of money from the productivity of entities that they own. Entities that are lots of people doing things, working, but the owners of the economy own entities. In some cases, tens of thousands of people that work there, generating said productivity. Working people's working, spending money, that is the economy. Without that, things kind of come to a halt pretty quick. So we're at a point where we have to figure out something with the wealth gap. It's gotten too extreme. We're still being only presented two options right now, and one of them, they leaned in pretty heavy over the last several years as to what they are. But, there's enough people that are going along with it because of messaging. Small government, individual liberty. Don't tread on me. Christian values, government. Yeah, sounds good. Sign me up. Why do you think I speak out against the Republican Party in its modern form? Because I'm pro-individual liberty and small government. Don't tread on me. Yeah, that's why I speak out against them. I'm pro-individual liberty, small government, so I don't really advocate for any specific political organization. I do advise against voting for that one, though, the Republican Party, in its modern form, because the organization that picked Donald John Trump, a famous con man, D-list celebrity guy, who became a game show host and then started saying racist stuff. But the organization that picked him saw a bunch of working class people willing to vote for the guy. Thus, a chance to win, gain power, take control of government, get their tax rates past. They are, in their modern form, the organization that protects the interests of the wealthy and powerful. That is what they do in legislation. The rhetoric is the convincing enough, that certainly obviously does not have to be a majority. Case in point, Donald John Trump becoming president, even though he finished in second place. It's more getting just enough people spread out in just the kind of right kind of way to go with their candidates. That's where the rhetoric comes in. That's where the conservative media machine comes in. You got to tune in every day to stay into it. If you tune out to that, if you turn it off, and then just start roaming about the world and meeting different kinds of people, you'll find some conflicts with the message you're hearing on the propaganda station you're watching. Yeah. The only way to stay tuned into it is to continue to stay tuned into it. As soon as you turn it off, and again, interact with the world in a positive way, clear-headed, clear mind, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, you'll find conflicts to the messages you've been hearing and whatever propaganda station you've been watching. They're training you to have negative thoughts and towards your neighbor, training you to have violent tendencies, training you to think that people that oppose oppression are somehow socialists, and stuff. Training you to think all kinds of stuff, you know, avoiding a lot of facts, you know. The Republican Party is the organization that picked a famous con man to be their president because they knew enough people would vote for him. He might actually win. And they knew that with the Electoral College, they definitely knew a guy like that would absolutely 100% reduce tax rates for the wealthy and corporations. He's a wealthy guy himself. He loves paying minimal taxes. He'd do anything to avoid paying taxes. And they got their way 6 years ago. The wealthy got wealthier. Big, massive corporations got wealthier. There's less money to cover cost of things now. And that's why the Republican Party wants to cut the funding to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education, infrastructure investment. You got less money coming in to cover the cost of those things. Because what was first on their agenda was making sure that the wealthiest got more. Yeah. So now that's where we're at now, 6 years later. There's less money coming in. The most affluent class have more than ever. The gap between the wealthiest and the average person is exponential. It's gargantuan. It's the biggest gap it's ever been. And growing. We need to, at some point, find a way to poke some holes in the ballooning bubble that is the top affluent class there. You know, we have multiple billionaires that accrued billions, with a B, plural, over the last several years in net worth. While the cost of living, you know, hasn't really improved, wages not so much, you know, cost of things going up, but not so much wages, quality of life. But individual billionaires are worth more in billions. We couldn't find some other way to, some other use for that money instead of giving it to Jeff Bezos. Here you go, Jeff. Says we, the people of the United States of America, here you go. Here's your cut for our productivity and buying products that your company sells or whatever. Here's your cut. Here's what you get to have, says we, the people of the United States of America. He's conducting business in our society. We can adjust the rules a bit. Yeah, he created that thing. That's the one and only way to buy goods, I guess, online for a lot of people. It's it. That's the one way to do it. The company that he owns, a soulless, vapid place that has one of its locations or whatever the fuck it's called, distribution centers in the outskirts of the city I live. Oy, I hope to never walk inside the place. Feel sorry for the folks that have to do it. I get why. I've had my various stints in the bowels of the corporate sector. Mine was 3.5 years as a call center agent in a call center working retention for the cable company. So, but needless to say, there wasn't really real worries. If you needed to take a potty break, you just go when you need to go, log off your call. But Amazon's a place that can be notorious for being real strict about that and other things. It's, it's just purely, it's an entity designed purely to earn profit, not to improve the quality of life for humanity or some shit, It benefits predominantly Jeff Bezos. That's its main beneficiary, him. Because we as a society have decided that there's no other way for us to get goods and services efficiently of a wide spectrum. It has to be through that one entity that primarily benefits Jeff Bezos. And we've also decided that if he is the main beneficiary of this big massive entity, that's the only way to purchase goods and services like that. He should get a huge, should be able to keep massive portions of what does come his way. There shouldn't really be like, okay, over a certain amount that's ridiculous in a year to earn, like say 10 million. We've decided that any, there is no like above that, that's a crap ton amount. So anything over the at that, you're gonna get taxed really high. We still haven't come to terms on that, what that number is, Marginal tax rate. We gotta figure that out. 'Cause there's these weird outliers in our society that are really just like in statistical numbers, like a few handful of people really, that are exorbitant amounts of money, earning more than like thousands of people combined, more than like whole communities. And it's just from entities they own. It's, they're not generating the revenue. The people working for the entity are generating the revenue. And then people working at other entities. This owner is just the owner, but they're like this weight that's weighing down on our society. Their weight, their wealth in estate value and all that, it's a weight. So we're kind of top heavy. We don't obviously have to resort to socialism. That would be really stupid. Reining in the wealthiest so that we have marginal wealth taxes is by definition not socialism, because it's focusing purely and solely on these outliers that are way out there. The vast majority of humans in this country do not earn $10 million in a year. It's a very specific club. The exclusive tax, if you will. Maybe that sounds better. It's the exclusive club tax. A very exclusive club in the United States of America actually earns more than $10 million in a year. That exclusive club would be paying this exclusive tax. 70% is what's proposed. You don't like that percentage? Well, let's get a lower one, but not too low. I think it needs to be above half. We're talking about earnings above 10 million in a year. And a lot of times for that group, it is interest from ownership stakes a lot of times. It is dividend payouts and stuff. It's from owning an entity. Or they're a high value employee, like a movie star, pro athlete or something. They're an extremely high value employee. So they get paid an extremely high salary from a person that owns various entities that they receive massive amounts of revenue from. Revenue that comes from productivity of massive numbers of people. Productivity that probably could be more efficient and predictable if people were able to get checkups when they need to and get healthcare when they need it and get education when they need it and want it. Yeah. In other words, universal healthcare and universal education. In other words, investing directly in hospitals with medical staff that are highly trained and such. In other words, those places that already exist, investing in them directly and let the middleman sort himself out later. Yeah, called the health insurance company. How they continue to retain a profit in a society in which healthcare is a right is something those companies are going to have to work out. If they haven't already started working on that already, they should have. Differentiating their product. Yeah. Because if they're conducting their very particular type of business in a society that where healthcare is not a right, then their product is very much in demand. But if they're trying to sell their product in a society in which healthcare is a right, yeah, they're going to have a tough time selling their product. So they're going to have to differentiate disability income, long-term care, that kind of stuff, promote maybe life insurance even more. Term, whole, universal, variable, universal life. There's various types of insurance that would still exist, but yeah, health insurance in its current form would become far less in demand if that place where the doctors and nurses work, you ever heard of it? It's called the hospital. Yeah, if we just paid for that place directly so that it had enough, monies to pay for its staff and supplies to take care of the humans that live in the area when they get sick and need medical treatment. Yeah, it's called the hospital. That's what they do there. They take care of human beings when they get sick and need to get healed. Yeah. The Republican Party has trained millions of people to be concerned with that middleman guy known as the health insurance company. How does that particular company continue to retain a profit selling its very particular product if the product they sell is not a privilege anymore? It's just simply a right that you don't have to pay for. Yeah, their product becomes far less in demand, obviously. Yeah, so some of those entities have paid politicians off. They've bought messaging and stuff to convince people to be extremely scared of being able to go to a doctor when you're sick. Isn't that weird? But it is what it is. It's the society we live in. Yeah. People are scared of the idea of being able to go to a doctor when you're sick and not having a bill. Yeah. Because universal health care is direct investment in those places called hospitals where doctors and nurses work and take care and heal people. Yeah. Those places know what the costs are of supplies, medical supplies, and the staff. They know those numbers. Yep. Yeah. The middleman is a for-profit entity, the health insurance company. So its concerns are different than the medical staff working in the hospital. Because of this, sometimes in the current model that we have, the medical staff's concerns become skewed away from pure caring for, because the middleman has his profit concerns and thus, can kind of agitate, caregivers and even patients in some points, So obviously a more efficient system would just be healthcare as a right, but that's something the Republican Party as an organization is extremely against and does not like. Do not want that. What's most important is that the wealthiest get more money. They gave them more money several years ago. Making sure that that stays on the books is going to be their top priority. You must not raise the tax rate on the wealthiest ever. In fact, let's lower it some more. And that's what they're about. Same with education. And same thing with public education. What does that mean? You know those public universities? There's public universities and there's private universities. Public universities are public universities. They get federal funding. So, yeah. If you want to go to one of those, apply. And if accepted, well, then start going. And so that would be the system in a publicly funded education system. If you might be confused as to what's the difference, exactly. It's not really any different. The only difference is that when the students leave the school or graduate or whatever, they don't have financial debt. They just stopped, they finished going to school. So now they're ready to enter their career. Why would they have debt? They were going to a publicly funded university that they were admitted to and attended. Yeah. So the school got a certain level of funding because a certain number of students are going there. The school can certainly give out scholarships if it wants. What would the student use it for? Well, for cost of living, of course. Yeah, for incidentals and, being an alive person, young adult. You need money. It's nice to have money. Yeah, so A scholarship is still very valuable to give out to a school if they have the kind of funding and whatever to give out. They from sports and whatever, ticket sales, various things. They generate revenue in various ways so they can give out scholarships or whatever, boosters and all that kind of. Yeah, schools would still be giving out scholarships to those that they deem worthy, and that would cover cost of living so the student could purely and solely be a student. They wouldn't even have to have a job. Their job would possibly be doing whatever thing they were given the scholarship for, because that really is kind of a job into itself. But it wouldn't cover the cost of going to the school, because there is no cost to go. It's a publicly funded university. In order to go there, you'd have to apply and be accepted. That system really is no different. Again, it's just simply eliminating the middleman, financial loan lenders. Yeah. In that new system, that particular entity, that middleman, the demand for their product, a college loan, becomes far less in demand, but not, completely absent. You're going to school for a while, you've been accepted to, the University of Oregon or whatever. Out of state, meaning nothing. It's no different. It's a publicly funded university, you've been accepted, so you want to go, you start going. So, but you apply for a college loan that'll cover your kind of incidentals and living costs. You've calculated out to a certain number, so it's like 4 grand a year that you decide you're going to borrow. So there would still be opportunities, and then you're just going to go to school, and each, when the loan payment comes out, you just cover a full year's worth of, and there might even be places where, like a 4 year lease and stuff type places where they do, or something, We'll give you a 4 year lease, you'll borrow money for whatever, and for now, whatever. There's still opportunities in that one. It would just be different. You're not going to be borrowing money to go to the school because the school's getting money either way. It has money that comes its way. You're borrowing it, but it goes directly to the school. The school gets it because you're going there. So it's not really much different. But again, public parties against that too. And again, they would prefer to just cut funding to those kind of things because there's less money to cover that kind of stuff. There's less money coming in. The wealthiest got a tax cut 6 years ago, and so did the biggest, most highly profitable corporations in America. They got a tax cut. But the broken record technique is for a reason, I suppose. It's a certain just the, I don't know. The longer this goes on, this the sheer absurdity of how long our country went into this Trump MAGA thing, and just the ongoing trying to figure out how to get out of it peacefully, in a peaceful way, the peaceful transition of power. It was not so peaceful, but peaceful enough in a way or something. It could have been much worse what he was trying to do on January 6th a couple of years ago. Like, that could have been way worse, but it's like we still quite haven't figured out how to kind of dissipate the energy that he created, that's still stewing about and roaming around and trying to get others on their bandwagon. This kind of embracing of a big meddling, violently oppressive government that's corrupt and caters to the interests of the wealthy and powerful, and then kind of engages in all kinds of propaganda and weird rhetoric to split the country in two. And everyone that opposes their agenda is a leftist, socialist, or something. It's just kind of alienating more than half the country, but emboldening the ones that are been with them the whole time. It's red versus blue. It's like 300 plus million of us, Most of us just work to try to pay our bills and sometimes get sick. I went to school because I was hoping to get a good job and stuff after school, college. Got a degree. So many times I thought it'd be cool to just go back, get another degree. I was only 2 classes away from management, but you got to come up with money. I don't know. Be nice if we had better fertile ground for those that want to go. It's instead of like being born into quicksand. There's a lot of us that are. Or like thick mud, you know, it's like it is more arduous for many of us, and there's varying levels of it, you know, where it's a grind. And because there's so many of us that are grinding, we think that we just, well, that's what it is. So we like get annoyed that anyone's complaining, but it's like, yeah, but there's this tiny, tiny group that is benefiting from all of us grinding it out that's doing almost nothing. They're the ones receiving the bulk of the benefit. You know, we're working certain hours, we're putting in a certain amount of time, we're going through certain stresses and anxieties, we're living our lives in a certain way because the owners of the economy are sort of dictating it. They're setting the parameters. Why don't we have more control of our own society? We are the people doing all the work. So we need to start voting better, picking better candidates that represent our interests. The modern day Republican Party does not. They had some decent ones there for a bit, and then they like voted them out. Like Adam Kinzinger was a good one, but I mean, I don't agree with anything on him or Liz Cheney, probably, but the willingness to stand up to clear and obvious corruption and ill intent, and to stand up against your peers, too. I mean, much kudos to them. And just, you know, knowing that their political careers would be could be in jeopardy by speaking the truth. Pretty crazy. That's where we are. They were outliers within their organization. They were willing to say the truth. And because of that, they no longer have careers within the organization now. The Republican Party. You know, and that's what it is. The Republican Party is not an ideology. It's an organization. And what it is in its current form, most now, 2023, is the organization that protects the interests of the wealthy and powerful. And very specifically, one Donald John Trump. It protected immensely one very specific person. It bent over backwards to protect the interests of. He abused his power, and they had their highest ranking members say that abuse of power is not a reason for him to lose his job. That was their defense. Some of them even acknowledged that, yes, he abused his power, but we're not going to fire him. That says a lot about, you know, what is their true ideology. It's very revealing. I mean, that was their defense. The guy they picked abuses power, yes, but that's not a reason for him to get fired, even though it's his famous catchphrase, you're fired. They couldn't hold him accountable. They gained too much from him, you know. They nominated him, and then in short order, after he became president, they got the thing they really wanted, the crowning achievement of their careers, as Paul Ryan put it. Tax cuts for the wealthiest. And tax cuts for the most biggest, most massive corporations and the people who own them. Less money to cover the basic stuff now. That was the crowning achievement of their careers. So, I certainly would like to vote Republican, you know? It'd be kind of cool. I'd like to be able to, but it's not really an option. It is the party, after all, of Dwight D. Eisenhower, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. But right now, it's the organization of Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Jim Jordan, Gohmert. That's what they are now in their modern form. Predominantly old white guys of wealth who say stuff on Fox News and stuff. They say a lot of rhetoric, and then legislatively they cut taxes for the wealthy and corporations and protect the powerful. That's what they do legislatively. Kevin McCarthy, another name on the Republican list there. That's their leaders. That's who they are now in their current form. So they are not the organization of Teddy Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, or Dwight D. Eisenhower. That's not what they are now. That organization could morph again and change again. But again, they excommunicated members here recently that had convictions, who had moral and ethical integrity. Those members were deemed too rigid in spine. You needed to be more spineless to be allowed to move upward. Hence, Kevin McCarthy's the Speaker of the House. He had to concede to the extreme wing of the Republican Party the still to this day proudly proclaiming it to the world that they think Trump is the most awesome guy ever group of the organization. The sort of more conservative, if you will, political opportunists of the organization. Everyone else that's not the hardcore MAGA type of Republican Party, they know that they have to at some point dissipate from Trump, but it's that tricky situation of knowing where their power comes from. The MAGA. No one outside of MAGA's supporting their thing. You know, kind of the elephant in the room. They are the elephants after all. And so it's that, how far can they push it? How far, when can they kind of pretend to pivot and people still buy it? That are the only ones that are going to buy their shit because they're tuned into their frequency. Who knows? I don't know. They're attempting to pivot, sort of, kind of, some of them, I think, you know, like trying to find a way to pretend like they're not with Trump anymore, but still cool with MAGA. May MAGA still vote for me, but no, Trump did bad stuff. It's tricky for them, but that's where they're at, and that's where their head's at. How do you stay in power? Not what laws can we create that benefit people? How do we make healthcare affordable in the most efficient way possible? That's not on their mind. That's not their goal. They could give two shits about those kind of things. So, you know, until people stop voting for them. But of course, you know, gerrymandered districts and stuff, there's limited things we can do. So, you know, it's the voting, but it's also soon we got to start using more of our social media power to, I don't know, maybe start boycotting some of these big entities or something. Start developing more of our economic power in mass. And that's, you know, we have quite the power, we the people in the United States of America, and we need to claim it back. You know, it's, the system has been attempting to divide us for too long. We need to become more united, understand and embrace and appreciate our differences too. There are many of us and from all walks of life, all quarters of the globe. There's many different areas of the country to be different shades of yourself too, I guess, or something, you know. It's a big, wide country, a lot of different people. Get out, explore it, meet new people. Breathe it in. Try some different frequencies. So make sure you're registered to vote. Stay safe out there. God bless. This is Gary, thinking out loud.